You know what it is. That's right. It's time to talk money with your money nerd and financial coach. Now, tighten those purse strings and open those ears. It's the Money Talk with Tiff podcast.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited because I have Clifton Corbin on the line. Now, Clifton, I met at FinCon, and he is an awesome individual, both online and in person, but he's here to talk to us today about kids and money, and particularly the younger ones. So, hey, Clifton, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on. So let's hop right in. When it comes to kids, I think the first question that people ask is, when should I start these conversations? Like, what age group, you know, when will they get it?
Sure. Such a good question. So what I like to say is, when we're talking about kids and money, what you want to be looking for is, when your kids start noticing money, when do they start being curious about it? When do they start seeing those transactions with, you know, your debit card or your credit card, and they start paying note, or even when they start asking you for stuff and they could recognize that money is the means to, you know, acquire things. So I usually say, use those, you know, your kids' natural curiosity and your kids' natural interest to be the gauge of when you should start talking to them. So, you know, usually I've seen it usually happens around, like, you know, 4 or 5, maybe even as young as 3, but around that, you know, pre-kindergarten, junior kindergarten age is around the time that I find is a good time to start introducing some of these money concepts with kids.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. And when we're thinking about that, how do we, you know, give us some examples. So, you know, a 4 or 5 year old, what kind of questions would they ask us for us to kind of jump in and be like, okay, and how would we do that?
Sure. So I love using chances when you're, like, actually, you know, transacting, when you're actually paying for something. So, you know, you're at the grocery store, you pull out your card to pay for your groceries, and you're about to tap, and you notice your kid look at you, or they're like, what is that? Or what, you will pick up, like, kids are, like I said, they're naturally curious. So they'll ask. And so just start breaking it down as, like, just say, you know, this is what this card is. This is how we, you know, pay for money. I've got money in the bank. I earn money from work. So it's all those really early conversations that are starting to break down. Like, what is money? Like, how does this thing work? Like, what are we doing here? One of the ways I like to describe it for young children is, it's a trade, right? Like, I trade, let's say you go to work, I trade my time to get money. So that's me working. And then I trade the money to get our groceries, or I trade it to, you know, pay for the home or what have you. So it's a nice, easy way, because kids understand trading, right? Like, they've got the Pokemon cards. They've, you know, kids trade. Like, that's a concept that young ones usually understand pretty easily. So I like using the word trade when I talk about money, especially with the early kids. But as far as, like, other things you could do just to help them understand it, I love role playing, especially with younger ones. I've got fond memories of playing, you know, pretend grocery store in my kid's bedroom, or pretend restaurant. So, you know, you get little price tags and you put it on little items. If you can, you know, get that cash register, you can get some play money. If you go to my website, cliftoncorbin.com/workbook, I've got a workbook there that you can download for free, but in the back of it, it's got play money that you can cut out. So, you know, your kids can, like, start using play money and start, you know, one of the memories I have is, like, my daughter charging like $500 for a strawberry and me being like, okay, that's price gouging. So, okay. So we got into conversations about, like, what money is and how do we use it. So there's so many fun ways that you can, you know, start, like I said, introduce these concepts. But I really like the idea of doing it at a really early age, just so that your kids start getting a sense of, like, how money works and why it's so important. Like, when they get older, you can get into more of the budgeting, the accounting, and all of that. But at those early ages, you know, it's money identification, it's understanding how it's used to trade for different goods and services, and just becoming comfortable with it as well.
Okay. And when you say money identification, so going over, like, what is a dollar, what is $5, what is $10, what is a quarter, you know, all those little conversations.
Exactly. And you can go, like, so I always say, you know, start with the basics, but then level up if you can. So, for example, you can go through all of that, you know, talk about, like, the different coins, the different bills, but then go a little further and be like, this is a check. This is what a check is for. This is how we take money from my bank account and we get it into someone else's bank account. You know, so you can go even further with that money identification to how do we actually start trading and transacting. One of the things, if your family can manage it, like, an allowance is a great thing to introduce to young children. you know, because it gives them a chance to start practicing. Now, I always say, I'm sure you've said it as well, you know, personal finance is personal first. So not every family, you know, will want to or will be capable of, you know, providing allowance. But if you can, it's a wonderful way of giving your child some early chances to practice identifying money, counting money, and then actually using money. So saving, donating, spending. It gives them lots of opportunities to start actually using the money.
Gotcha. And so I'm just thinking, like, 4 or 5 year old, what kind of allowance should they get? And should it be tied to chores? Like, you know, when we're thinking about the younger kids, how would you do an allowance in those situations?
Sure. Also, great question. So I'll give you a story about what happened to me with my son. So he was about 4 or 5, and he was then, and he still is, very money curious. So I tried an allowance with him, and I can't remember if it was exactly 4 or 5, but very quickly I recognized, you know what, this isn't working, because he still wasn't able yet at that age to do the adding and subtracting to figure out how much money should be going into. So we do the 3 jars method. We have a jar for saving, a jar for spending, and a jar for giving or donating. So at the time, he couldn't do it. He wasn't ready yet. So I said, okay, we're going to scrap that idea of the allowance, and we're going to just keep talking about money and using play money. And that just gave him a chance to practice it, but not in a, you know, a real world context. So if your child is capable of, you know, counting and, you know, has that basic math skill, has the basic math skills to manage the allowance, what I say is, you know, the guideline that we've seen, or I've seen in the research that I've done, is that it's usually about, you know, 50 cents to a dollar, pardon me, 50 cents to a dollar per year. So if they're, let's say, 5 years old, you're giving them anywhere from $2.50, you can round that up to $3 or up to $5. That's kind of the baseline. The one thing is, you don't want to give children too much, because you want them to have to save. You want them to have to, you know, work up to making bigger purchases. But that's a good place to start. But again, you need to make sure that they have the skills to actually do the math, to be able to actually, you know, count it, to manage it. Because at too young an age, it's just another toy that they'll play with. It'll get lost. It doesn't work. So it is, you know, every child is different, and you will know when your child is ready. Like I said, I thought mine was, recognized he wasn't, and we moved on. For my daughter, for example, as another example, so she didn't really start getting into even being that curious about money till later, a little bit later. So when my son first started getting his allowance in earnest, it was probably about 5 or 6. Like I said, I started at 4 or 5, didn't work, tried it again at 5 or 6 or 6, 7, and it worked better. My daughter took a leave in a little bit longer, because she didn't care, to be honest. She just didn't care that much. So that's when we just, you know, we kept it in the play world. We kept it as conversations. You know, we broke out some games. Monopoly is a fantastic game to start introducing these concepts, because again, they're using it, right? So you really want to have opportunities for them to practice. So even if it's in the play world with, you know, role playing in a pretend restaurant, or if it's with an allowance where they're actually able to use the money for real, it's about giving them opportunities to practice, giving them opportunities to use money, giving them opportunities to ask questions, and for you to have those conversations, because you're their guide, right? You're there to help them learn not just what money is, but how to use it and how to use it responsibly. And as they grow, those conversations will evolve, and you'll be able to, like I said, add more context and more detail to get them even more comfortable that, you know, at some point you could start maybe even lending them money so they could start getting into the habit of repaying. So it's all about, you know, I like to say, you're kind of stacking knowledge on top of knowledge, but it's imperative that they get a good baseline, a good foundation. And that's what these early years are about. It's just giving them that foundation so that they feel like they're comfortable, they're confident, they understand what money is, they know how it looks, they know how it works. And then you could start, like I said, stacking on some more information.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is, stick with play money until they're ready for the real money. And then also, so do you feel like it should be attached to chores, or is it
right? That was right. Sorry, you totally asked me that, and I skipped over that. So no, it's a great question. So with regards to allowance and chores, I usually go back to, what am I giving them an allowance for? You know, if you're giving them an allowance to motivate them to do work, then yeah, tying it to chores works. But I feel like there's a lot of pitfalls, a lot of challenges that come with that. So, you know, if they decide they no longer want the allowance, well, the chore still needs to get done. And now they're not, you know, now they don't have the allowance. So when I say, when I'm thinking about allowances, my goal is to give them opportunities to practice using money. Like I said, transacting, saving, giving, all the rest. So if that's my end goal, I don't like to tie it to chores, because if, like I said, chores aren't done or chores are done poorly, and they don't get the allowance, now they're not getting a chance to practice and the chore is still not done. So it's a lose-lose. So I compare it to any other practice that we give our children. So, you know, if they're in sports or if they're learning to play an instrument, for example, if you don't tie that activity to a chore, I wouldn't tie the allowance to a chore.
Are you a small business owner looking to manage your finances better? The Business Money Makeover Program is here to help. For 3 months, you'll gain valuable insights on business structure, accounting, profitability, applying for grants, and more from yours truly. Our live sessions, hot seats, and special guest experts will provide you with the guidance and information you need to take your business to that next level. The next cohort starts on May 21st, but hurry, as this is our only live cohort for a while. I will be starting a PhD program in the fall, and so this is the last time to get in on this. Plus, there's special pricing that ends on May 7th. So don't miss this opportunity to transform your finances for good. Sign up for the Business Money Makeover before it's too late. See you there. Now back to the episode.
So I know a lot of people hear that and they start thinking, well, then I'm just giving money away for free. And how are they going to learn the value of money? And, you know, all of these other things. And I say, well, you know what? They will, because at some point they will need to work for it. Because again, we're not giving them a lot, right? We're giving them enough to get started, but we're not giving them enough, you know, to buy their first place or even to rent their first apartment. We're just giving them a little bit of seed money so they can start practicing. But at some point they're going to say, you know what, I want, and they're going to name some high ticket item that an allowance, even if they save for, you know, multiple months, they still won't be able to afford it. So that's when they're going to start working. And those first jobs, that's when they're really going to get it, right? Because I joke often, I'm like, if my child does a bad job, I can't fire them, right? Like, I can't fire my child, but a boss can. And if a boss fires you, you'll learn really quickly, well, if I'm not doing a good job, I don't get this source of money. So I need to do a good job. So let their first bosses be, you know, a chance for them to learn those, you know, being prompt and doing good work and all the rest. And you can model it. I like to say, you know, demonstrate that, you know, good work has positive repercussions with regards to how much money you're getting and all the rest. So model good behavior, model good work ethic. But with regards to them actually, you know, receiving that from you, there's only so much you can do. Because again, the ultimate leverage with regards to work is, well, if you don't do the work, you get fired. So you can't really, you can't fire your child. So yeah, I don't typically tie allowances to chores. But again, I want to preface that with, you know, you have to do what's best for your family. So if you feel very, like, if you feel in your soul, like, I cannot give this money without tying it to something, my end goal is to make sure that your child is getting opportunities to practice. So if you think you need to tie it to a chore, then tie it to a chore. Just give your child opportunities to practice, because there's so many benefits to giving your child these opportunities at an early age that they will reap when they're an adult or young adult. That just, there's no end to how much benefit it will come back to them. So give them that foundation. And if you have to tie it to a chore because that's, you know, what your values say or that's how you feel, then go ahead. But if you're looking for what I suggest, I would say no, keep them separate.
Gotcha. And that makes perfect sense. And I was just going to add as well, I mean, you could pay them for a job, like if you hire them through your company, which is what I've done in the past. And my oldest son, even to this day, he's like, can I work? Because he's like, I got stuff I want to buy. But thinking about the younger children again, one more question that I have, and it might be one more, I don't know. We'll see.
Ask away.
But I just think about, okay, we have two fairy money coming in. We have, because, you know, between like 4 and 8-ish, you know, they're still losing teeth. And so we have two fairy money coming in. We have birthday money. We have all those different things. And so what do you suggest when it comes to that type of stuff? How does that fit into the whole allowance? How does that fit into the spend, save, donate, and all that good stuff?
So again, you're gonna have to figure out what makes the most sense for you. So when we're getting, when our kids are getting money into the into their coffers from, you know, parents, grandparents, what have you, aunts and uncles, for some of those bigger things, we tell them straight up, we're just gonna put that into your education account. Like, you get no access to it. Other times, you know, birthdays, we say, all right, we're gonna, well, we usually negotiate with them. We're like, we're gonna split this up. Half is yours to do what you want with. The other half we're gonna put into this college education account for you, because one of the things I'm doing there is I want to show them how with time, you know, investments grow as well. So there's a bit of learning there, and there's also a chance to make sure that it's not just, you know, I don't want to call it frivolous spending, because I think there's value in their spending if they're learning, but I want to make sure that, you know, some of it is protected. But I also want to give them access to some of those, some of that money too. So I want them to have, you know, some autonomy, some agency with the money so that they're practicing. So it's kind of a, you have to figure, again, figure out what works for you. What I've done is I've taken, usually it's about half, depending on the amount too. There's sometimes, you know, they'll get what I consider an extravagant or like lavish gift. And I'm like, no, you're not getting that. Like, that's just, you're like, no.
I need that.
Because at the end of the day, we're their parents, right? Mm-hmm. We get to decide. Like, as much as I say, give them opportunities to practice, we're still their parent. Like, even with the allowance practice, I say, give them as much chance to, you know, spend and transact with, you know, and buy what they want. But you could still put some boundaries in there, because at the end of the day, like I said, we're still their parent. We should still be deciding how and, you know, what comes into our home. So with regards to the gifts, it's kind of the same thing. Like, yes, this is a gift for you, and yes, this is your money, but, you know, some of this money needs to go towards, and then you get to decide. But some of this money gets to go to you. So again, you work it out with you and what works in your family. But if for me and what we do, typically it's part of it goes to, you know, long-term savings for them. But the other part of that is, we're very transparent with them with regards to their education fund. So my kids know how much money they have saved up to go to college. So it's not like this money is then taken from them and then they just feel like they were robbed. Like, they know, they're like, oh, wow, I've got these many thousands of dollars waiting for me when I reach this age, which I also think has a lot of value. Like, they, you know, I talk a lot also about, you know, wealth and wealth creation and all the rest. They know that they've got money, which is kind of a crazy thing to, like, at that age, I had, you know, whatever money I made for my paper or what have you, but they know they've got thousands of dollars that is actually theirs. Like, there's, like, it's in their name, it's theirs. I'm managing it right now, but it's theirs. So with regards to the money that comes in from the Tooth Fairy and all the rest, you know, you decide. Some, like, one of the things that we do is for Halloween, after we let them go, you know, a little bit, you know, crazy with the candy, I buy it from them. And then the money that I buy it from them with, I tell them, like, what do you want to do with this? My son, he was like, I want you to put this in the bank for me. I was like, cool, done. My daughter's like, I just want to keep it in my room. I was like, that's fine too. Like, as long as it's safe, as long as it's in one of your jars, I'm okay with that. And then she took five of it and went out to the book fair the other day and bought herself something. I was like, this is good. So, you know, you want to give them opportunities to make decisions with their money, because that's really, at the end of the day, what we're looking for is for them to feel like they have some control over their money.
Yeah, I will definitely say I learned my lesson with giving them full rein of what they do. So my youngest son, because he's 8, so this was his birthday this year, he got, I want to say it was like $100, right? And so what I should have done was taken half of that and was like, okay, let's put it in your bank account. We put the other half on your Switch, because, you know, he likes to play video games. And I told my mom, because, you know, we were trying to figure out how to do it, and I was like, you know what, just put it all on his Switch and he'll, like, you know, spread
he'll
it,
go
out.
It out slowly.
Yeah. No. He got away from me one weekend. He would stay with my grandparents. And when he came back, he had nothing left. And I was like, oh my gosh, you just blew through like $100. Because I was like, you're going to want the battle pass later when it comes out again. You're going to want, you know, V-Bucks, Robux, whatever. So, you know, save a little bit. But he did not. And I think he learned a lesson as well, though, because, oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you bring up a great point there. And I know a lot of parents also ask, like, how do I even bring up the concept of saving or not? Like, it's two things. One, when you want your child to, like, save, it's hard for them if they're not getting money on a regular basis. Another, you know, another reason why the allowance is such a good thing, just so that they know money's coming. I don't need, you know, when you don't feel like, when you have that inconsistency with your cash flow, you feel like I either have to spend it all or I can never spend it. Both really bad habits when you're dealing with money management. Another, you know, bonus for the allowance, but you got it. You did exactly what I've been recommending with. When you want to talk about saving, it's, you're talking about what are the opportunities that you want to make sure you have money for. Like, we're not going to talk to our kids about retirement because that doesn't make any sense, but you could talk to them about the opportunities that having money on hand will provide them. You know, your friends are going to come and say, hey, do you want to go to the movies with me? But if I'm not paying for that, or I'm not going to pay for the popcorn or whatever, but if you don't spend all of your money when that opportunity arises, you will be able to then take advantage of it. So it's about talking about the opportunities that can be afforded to them, the options that stay open to them by not spending all their money. It's a great way to kind of raise that concept of saving. And what you did, I encourage too, because if he's feeling the bite of not having it for those opportunities, well, he learned a lesson. And that's also winning.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened, because when the next season or what have you came out and the battle pass was out, he's like, Mommy, can I get the battle pass? And I'm like, do you have any money? I'm like, you know, and then I bought up, oh, remember when you had all this money on your Switch and now you need it? And so it was a good learning opportunity. And so now he does save. So like, for instance, now, you know, he got some extra money from like my grandparents or what have you. We put it in the bank and he's doling it out very slowly. I want to say it was like last weekend, he was like, oh, I want some pizza. And, you know, like a typical mom, do you have pizza money? And so he was like, yeah, we could use some of my money for that. And so I was like, okay, I'll split the pizza with you. And so, you know, he's been doling it out little by little now, instead of like swooping through and using it all. But anyway, thank you so much, Clifton, for coming on the show today and just dropping knowledge about how to handle money when it comes to like the 4 to 8 year olds, and some strategies we could employ. So if people were interested in learning more about these strategies or learning more about you, how could they find you?
Best place to find me is my website. So cliftoncorbin.com. If you want to hear more about these strategies, I've written a book. It's called Your Kids, Their Money. You could find it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or, you know, just go to my website. You'll see it there. And like I mentioned, as far as like giving your kids, especially this age group, activities, or if you want to find some play money or anything like that, if you go to my website, cliftoncorbin.com/workbook, there's a activity book, a workbook there that's free to download. It's got activities about money identification and like doing some of the like early math with money. So many fun things in there, and printable money in the back as well. So you can go there, download it. It's yours to have. So best places to find me. Go to my website, or if you want, you can find me on Instagram at Your Kids, Their Money.
Yes. Thank you so much. And we love freebies. So I will make sure that I will have all those links in the show notes so you can check Clifton out. And like I said, I appreciate all of the knowledge that you gave us. You definitely gave me some ideas as to what I can do next. So thank you so much. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening, joining, and being a part of the Money Talk with Tiff podcast this week. You can check Tiff out every Thursday for a new Money Talk podcast. But if you just can't wait until next week, you can listen to previous podcast episodes at moneytalkwitht.com or follow Tiff on all social media platforms at Money Talk with T. Until next time, spend wise by spending less than you make. A word to the money wise is always sufficient.